Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Louis D'Souza. Today is Monday, July the 15th, 2019. It is 8 a.m. in New York, 5 a.m. Los Angeles, 1 p.m. in London, 9 p.m. in London, in Tokyo rather, 10 p.m. in Sydney, Australia. But wherever you are in the world, thank you for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And my daily dose of happy keeps building and building, Louis, because as we were talking about before we started the show today, I've been doing a lot of work editing this new film. By the way, audio play that we've been putting together, The Grass is Greener. And by the way, we have a launch date. It is officially now going to be launched on our world premiere date of Friday, this coming Friday, July 19. It will be at 10 p.m. Eastern time. So I'm afraid Europeans will have to catch it a little bit later unless they're up really, really late. But we're trying to get as many American time zones in as we possibly can. You have to kind of aim at your audience, right?
Yeah.
But I tell you, this editing job, first of all, like I was talking about earlier, I would never have considered doing this before. I mean, this is something that kind of came to me, I just kind of followed my nose on it. And like you pointed out, I didn't have any resistance because I didn't have any prior expectations. Mm-hmm. And now that I'm into it, it's like, whoa, what was I thinking? But that's what got me through. It got me through and got all of us through. I mean, between myself, Alex King, and my sister PJ, who's directing, just the three of us, we put in over 500 hours worth of work on one episode. I mean, it's insane. And then you got the cast members on top of that and the work they've been putting in.
Oh, 500 hours.
500 hours worth of work. Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah. In fact, I recommend anybody who ever starts a project like this, track everybody's hours. It's an education. It tells you a whole lot about how this thing works. It's just amazing. But I'm loving it. And I'm loving hearing the final product come together because I'm the one who's editing the sound files and putting them all together. I've got the first four episodes or first four scenes out of, I think, 10 scenes done. And they're actually the hardest ones. So I think I'm about halfway done and I should have the rest of it done within the next few days. But it just takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, and it's fun.
So Walt, will we have to watch it live, listen to it live, or can we just click on a link?
No, it's basically a podcast. Audio play is basically a podcast. So you can listen to the recorded version, but I'm thinking for those who want to listen to the live stream, because we will also be live streaming. We'll probably have some of the actors on the live stream with us, you know, so kind of like a audio version of a red carpet event.
Yeah. Launch.
A launch. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, well, I think we'll actually start at 9:45 p.m. Eastern time, New York time. And so it'll give us about 15 minutes to chat. And then right at spot at 10 p.m. Eastern New York time, we will play the first episode. And then we'll have some discussion afterward. And people are welcome to come and share their comments and their thoughts and insights. You know, if you hate it, pan it. If you love it, tell us so. But it's going to be good no matter what. It's going to be good because, wow, what a project this has been. Just what a project. You know what the craziest part is?
Yeah.
Well, you're doing an audio play, which means you can't see anything. So you have to paint everything with sound, which you're constantly sitting, like as I'm sitting with we have all the clips of all of what the actor's dialogue said, right? And so I'm sitting with these clips. And I have certain musical choices in mind and I'm thinking, okay, so what does the scene sound like other than what the voices are doing? And you start filling in with your mind. Oh, well, she's in the kitchen. She's, you know, making dinner. So you have to make kitchen sounds, or she's talking to her friend on the cell phone. So you have to turn her friend's voice into a cell phone voice. And, you know, there's somebody calling from the other room. So you have to do that more quietly from the other room. And, you know, all this kind of, you have to think about all this stuff. It's really something.
It's, you know, I listen to a lot of audiobooks and the narrators are incredible, some of them. It's just what they can do, the range of voices that they can put on, and it's just mind-blowing. It's absolutely mind-blowing. And guys putting on female voices effectively and vice versa, it's just it's
quite incredible. Well, that's the other thing, because the cast we put together is really fabulous. And they have exactly what you're talking about. Our lead, Carissa, who's playing the lead character, Nance, she can do more with a voice than many men. And men usually have more of an advantage just because with the testosterone, our voices have generally a wider range to work with. Plus, we have falsetto to work with, mm-hmm. which a female doesn't necessarily have to play with. So we have kind of the advantage. You wouldn't know it listening to her. I mean, she doesn't really have a low voice or anything like that. It's just that she has tremendous control over the vocal range that she has. So she could literally, she could probably play like four or five roles. That's how good she is. Really something. I mean, she's only playing the one, but I mean, it's just amazing. And we have two kids who are part of the cast.
Oh, brilliant.
And these guys are just, Alyssa and Aiden are wonderful. They are just wonderful. They're full of energy. They're full of excitement when they're doing it. We have the two of them doing a fight scene. And after I edited it all together, I mean, it sounded like it could have come from anybody's house. It was that real. So it's fun. It's fun. But, I can't wait to have the thing done. I can't wait to have that first episode out there. And hopefully, I'm really hoping people are going to like this. I'm hoping they're going to like it, and they're going to like it on a big scale, because we want to keep doing it. I mean, you don't really keep doing something like this unless you're getting a response, right?
Absolutely.
If you're not getting a response, you say, well, why bother? There's not any point to it. But I'm really hopeful that people are going to respond to this, because, oh, God, it is fun. It's a lot of fun to do. And like I said before, I never thought I would have done this. This is not something that would have been on my radar at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about like what you said. That's like the law of attraction work, which is not always an easy thing to do.
Well, the law of attraction, if you're running with it beautifully, following what you want and following your emotion to where you're going, you will find, first of all, you will change, which means you'll probably change your partner, your job, your life, you know, your dog, your kids. things can change quickly and often. And it's interesting because, you know, I've just come back from my 3-year-old's kindergarten sports day.
Mm.
And I'm now quite aware of what's going on around me. So I go and I sit down and I say, who did I sit down next to and who's going to come sit down next to me? And I had this amazing guy next to me, and his energy was absolutely, you know, bursting. And we were having such a great chat together and laughing about our kids losing and winning and tripping and all these things. And, you know, it was just so much fun. And it's really interesting to watch the kind of vibrational people that you're bumping into now, because as you change, the people that you attract to you change. So
that's a great point. I mean, we often hear about how we can influence others and we can use deliberate focus to do that, but we often ignore the fact that we influence people when we're not trying to influence them, just by
our vibration. Absolutely. Yeah.
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 Which means that it's even more important to be who we really are.
Well,
I mean, if you know what I mean, by focusing on more and more on yourself, the way you want yourself to be and what you want to enjoy in life, and choosing what you enjoy more than what you don't enjoy. Cause otherwise,
focusing on what you want. Yeah.
You end up with a whole bunch of people around who you really don't like all that much. And it's on you. You're the one who did it.
Well, you know, if there's a lot of people around you that you don't like, you know that you're not liking yourself.
That's true.
It's just the way it works.
Pretty straightforward, really.
Very, very simple. Yeah. Oh, you want nice people around you. Well, start loving yourself.
Yeah, we often forget that, but it is the fact. The other thing that is really interesting, and I've seen this a lot lately on social media, people who are law of attraction fans who like to claim that they're good at using the law of attraction, but for this thing they're talking about right now, law of attraction doesn't apply.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually about something that they're passionately negative about. Yeah. Like, I really dislike this thing, but law of attraction doesn't apply here.
Law of attraction's broken when it comes to this subject.
Yes.
It works when it comes to that subject.
I turned off the off switch.
Yeah.
It's like the story that Esther Hicks tells about in The Voice of Abraham about the time that she and Jerry wrote the rapids on the Colorado River.
Yeah, I love that story.
Right, and the guy tells them, now, folks, I want you to know I can't turn the river off. And Abraham says, that's exactly the way it is with the law of attraction. We can't turn it off for you.
Yeah, so what was the other part of that story when they were say to the guy, well, you know, Can you take us out of the water and put us in just before the end part?
Yes.
And I said, didn't you want to come along for the ride?
Right. Yeah. Well, wasn't that the point? And that's just it. I mean, I'm trying to imagine what it would have been like if I had tried to come in just at the end of this project, just at the point where we're launching it. I would have lost. I mean, yeah, there's been a ton of work, sometimes hard work, sometimes frustrating work, but I would have missed out on all of that part of the ride. And just hearing the final end product would not have been as powerful for me as it's going to be. I mean, I kind of want the audience to have that same degree of power, but I know they really can't just because they didn't go through the process of creating it like that.
You mean while suffering is actually nice?
Actually, I don't see it as suffering. I really don't. I don't think it's suffering at all.
Some of it was really hard.
Well, it was hard, yeah. But, you know, that's actually more of a challenge than anything for me. It's not like I'm afraid of something that's hard. If it's hard, it's like, okay, well, let's get this thing done somehow. And by the way, that's when I'm learning to really use law of attraction the most. Because my tendency in the past would have been, I have to solve this. Mm-hmm. This thing that is facing me right now, I have to solve it. And inevitably, that would have led me down some rabbit hole that would cause me all kinds of things.
Okay, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, but if what I've been doing lately is going at it with, you know, I can only do so much. I'm just going to keep doing with what I can do. And I'm going to just trust it's going to work out okay. Mm. And it does. It just does every time.
You mean in your whole life could have been this easy?
Oh, God, now you're really freaking me out. That's exactly what I'm learning. And I think that's what all of us are learning, too, that, God, this stuff really makes life easy if we can just let go. Let go of the angst and let go of the fear and let go of the suffering feelings and let go of, oh, God, I don't know. I'm going to get hurt. I'm not going to enjoy this. It's going to be terrible. I'm going to be hated. Bah, 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 bah,
I'm not going to find the right people.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
And all you have to do is take the oars, let them go, put them inside the canoe and let the river turn you around and take you to everything you ever wanted.
Yeah, I wouldn't let go of the oars, let them float down the river. It's probably good just to have them so you get onto the shore again. But
let them go into your boat.
That's right. Oh, there go the oars.
Well, that world means you just don't trust enough. You should be able to throw your oars overboard.
I like to learn in stages, actually.
Coward.
Well, I guess that's one way to look at it. I think I'm brave enough to start dealing with the contrast.
You know, somebody said that to me recently because I didn't respond appropriately to a request to go out to party all night, which I didn't know how to do. So I kind of kept quiet. So the guy called me a coward. So I said,
stop. I got to make sure I got this straight. You're a coward because you didn't want to go out and party all night?
Yeah.
Okay, we have a new definition of bravery here. If you want to be brave, you go out and you get yourself completely plastered. Got it.
But, I just said, well, I don't really mind what you call me. You know, I know I'm not. I know where I am. I know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm confident enough. And you know, it's great. I really don't mind. If you want me to be.
Well, that's just it. That's where, you know, when we start taking on that attitude more and more, that attitude of, I just don't really care about those slings and arrows you're flying at me, you know, then an amazing thing happens. The slings and arrows don't matter anymore. And they'd miss their mark entirely. And you just kind of stand there saying, why was I upset about that in the past? Because clearly this doesn't amount to anything.
You know, one guy said to me, Louis, you've got a Teflon coat.
I went, yeah, right.
You always have your challenges. You always have the things that you are working on, but it's not necessarily what society or other people are thinking you're working on.
Right, right, right. Exactly.
So different and so far apart that nobody can even guess.
But that's the thing. The more that we're developing ourselves, taking our projects on, letting Law of Attraction deliver interesting projects based on previous requests that we've made, leaving them open-ended enough so that we aren't really sure what's going to come and just kind of going with it. And then once they come, just going with what happens as it happens. And okay, what's the next logical thing that comes along? Well, that seems to be the next logical thing that comes along. So I'll do that and I'll respond to this because that seems like the best way to respond to that, and try to respond always from the point of view of, well, that this is what seems to make the most sense from my needs perspective, from what I want, from what I'm looking for. So I think I'll go that way. And you keep doing that and you do that and you do that and you do that. And all of a sudden, from the perspective of everybody outside, it's like everything's going right in your life. But as you say, you're still working on stuff. It's not like you're not working on stuff anymore. It's just that you've got so much of it going well from the outside, it looks like everything's perfect.
Yeah, it goes back to that old story where the student goes to the master. The master's all right for you. You're a master. Nothing, you don't have any problems. He said, that's not true. Only difference between you and me is I handle them when they're small.
Yes. Because when they're small, they're easy.
Well, when they're small, there's not an active vibration. When there's not an active vibration, you're not riding down a hill full steam ahead. You're just moving slowly and just standing in front of the car and you stop it. So it's all to do with thought and active vibration. So,
by the way, we're getting some sort of a staticky sound there.
I'm a little too active in my movement here.
Ah, is that what it is? Okay.
I can make this not touch that. It might help.
Okay. All right. I thought maybe you were being attacked by a rogue pheasant, so I wasn't sure.
Is it better now?
It's much better now. Thank you. But, when we deal with stuff in a way that is, like you said, dealing with them small, not only is it easier to deal with because, like you said, the vibration hasn't built up a big momentum yet, but I don't know about you. I think they're more fun. When they're small, it's like, well, shoot, I can handle this. This is easy. I'm actually finding a way to enjoy this. When they're big, it's like, oh God, I don't know if I can handle this. But when they're small, it's like, oh, wait, this is great. I can do this. I can do this.
And when you start working it out that you can do it on all subjects in your life, wow.
Yeah. No kidding. No kidding.
Then all those obstacles that you've had in the past are falling away.
I was talking earlier about how many hours we have on this project. If I had known in advance how many hours it would take, I don't know if I would have done the project.
Yeah, I mean, parents say the same about their kids.
Yeah, right? Same idea. It's one of those things where when you look at the total of it, it can kind of scare you. But when you've been through the process of doing it, kind of being led one step at a time through it, and the hours pile up, the perspective is a different perspective. And that's why I said that somebody doing a project like this should track the hours, because I get to the point where as the hours pile up, I say, wow, this is amazing. It's amazing, not scary, not intimidating, amazing at how much time it takes to do all this. And I've been enjoying it. I've been enjoying all this time I've been putting in. My sister's been enjoying the time that she has put in being the director. Yeah. Alex has enjoyed the time she's put in doing, script writing and producing.
You've got something that's going right. You absolutely know it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you, it's no longer a question of being intimidated. It's more like blown away.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes we want to make the mistake and think, oh, it's going so well. It's incredible. Something's going to go wrong at some stage. Terrible vibration we start activating.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something to really avoid when people get to that stage. When you get to that stage, when people start thinking, it shouldn't be going this well and this right and this perfect. Something's going to be jinxed. And, all those kind of words which society has brought along.
Right.
And I've learned now that doesn't bother me at all because I'm always looking forward.
Yes.
Well, I'm not looking back anymore.
When you're in the middle of it, if you're truly in the middle of it and you're not pulling yourself out and evaluating and saying, well, how am I doing so far? Then you don't even get there. You don't even get to the point of worrying about, oh, geez, I don't know if this is going to fall apart or not, because you're just in the middle of it. The only time you can actually get to the point where you're worried about, oh God, I don't know if this is going to work, and you start, jinxing it and all that kind of stuff, is when you pull back and you say, okay, I'm going to stop for a little bit and kind of evaluate and keep score of what I've been doing. Mm. And it's the act of keeping score that does it.
Yeah.
When you're not keeping score, it's not a big deal. It's only when you keep score and then you're comparing. Oh, geez. Well, I should have done this. I only got this much done. I should have gotten that much done. And that person didn't get nearly as much done as they were supposed to do. Oh my God, this is turning into a catastrophe.
It's so true, Walt. It's exactly how it works. Well, it worked in the past, but you know, slowly but surely you get to, you know, the way I live my life and the way I bring up my children and all that kind of stuff now is so vastly different. Not only the way I was brought up, but society as a whole, that you really have to keep your own focus going very clearly without worrying about what anybody else thinks to be able to maintain it. Because you've got the alternative vibrations of how to do things all around you. You've got it in your past. You've got it in your society. You've got it in your friends. You've got it, those around you. And, you know, you're now focused in a completely different way and you're just heading down that route.
Yeah.
And you've really got to be quite clear, because we're the first generation LOAers, really, you know.
That's true, isn't it?
That's going to be really setting the tone for the huge changes that are going to come to all to many over time.
Mm-hmm.
When they want it. Okay. It's not, nothing's going to be enforced on anybody. But, you know, I can kind of wish I could go forward in time and sit in my daughter's family's house and see how they her children's house and see how they do it. Because I think the progressiveness of it is going to be quite astounding, you know. Because we're on the leading edge, they're going to be on the leading edge, their kids are going to be on the leading edge.
Right.
You know, I might be one of them, so I might be right in the mix again, doing it all. So I might well know exactly how it's going to work, but, you know, you've just got to really enjoy where you are now. There's nothing else you can do. You can only appreciate the now.
You know, we often phrase it that way. There's nothing else you can do now. I'm almost thinking we need to change the way we phrase that. There's nothing else you need to do now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seriously, there's not an issue there. There is no issue.
Hmm.
Unless you decide to make it into one, but, you know, unless you really love the contrast of doing that, I wouldn't recommend that. I mean, some people like the contrast of that. I mean, everybody likes contrast. That's why we're here. It's just a question of what kinds you like, but that kind I really don't need. I'm done with that one.
You know, the law of attraction, Walt, is a very clear new set of philosophy to live your life by. An understanding. And it's so radically different that I'm losing track of what I wanted to say, actually.
Well, excuse me. I'm not sure exactly where you were going with it, but it's definitely a case of us going through a transition period. Because, I mean, certainly for those, you say that we're on the leading edge and that we're like the first generation, and there's a lot of truth to that. So we're the first ones who can look back on whatever our length of lifetime was so far to the point that we learned about law of attraction. And we can see all of that time when we were default creators. We were just creating by default without realizing that we were creating. We were just acting without realizing that our acting was contributing to what we were experiencing. We didn't understand how any of it worked. And now we have some understanding and we're looking back at what we went through before understanding. We said, oh, God, no wonder I messed it up so badly. Now I get it. Now I know what I screwed up on. So that's a different experience from somebody who has been brought up to understand from a very young age that they are deliberately in control, if they choose to be, of everything that happens in their lives. They don't have nearly as much of what Joel and I like to call the baggage. They don't have as much baggage to carry along and to sort through and decide what to throw out, which is most of it, by the way. But, you know, keeping the good parts that you learned from or that you enjoyed, and separating out the angst and all that kind of thing. They don't have as much to deal with on that score. What they're dealing with is now that they understand how this stuff works, they still, as human beings, will have a tendency at times to go off the rails, to just forget what they've learned for a moment. But they're going to experience, and they are experiencing right now, your kids are an example of this, they're experiencing right now, I instantly know, and by instantly I mean within seconds in most cases, that I went off the rails. I understand how I went off the rails, and I understand what the consequences of going off the rails turned out to be. Mm-hmm. And I understand what I can do to change it if I don't like what those consequences were.
You know, I've now looked back at my life, Walt, and I see I went through a lot of shit. Okay. But what I'm also realizing is that the more shit I went through, the more I learned. You know, it was,
well, that's how you find
ponies. They were such fantastic teachers. They were the best teachers. Mm-hmm. And because you're now living the law of attraction and you're dealing with the vibration when they're small, you're not having the same kind of real dwang, but you're now shifting from a higher vibration to even a higher vibration. And that shift can also be quite massive and quite beautiful. But in a slightly different way to the way you were before. You were going from, say, depression to revenge, and now you're going from hope to expectation, which is a huge one. And they're big jumps, okay? They're not small.
Right.
They are not small. I mean, from hope to expectation, as Esther was saying, Abram once, is a massive shift.
Mm-hmm.
Massive shift. And but you're still shifting, but it's now a nicer shifting, not such a traumatic, baggagey type shifting.
Right.
And I'm really enjoying playing with that aspect. So, you know, my wife and I were really looking to go to South Africa on a certain date, and then we get a phone call from my sister saying, hey, you know, we can help you out and we can get you set up and, you know, this and this. And we gave them the dates and it looks like everything's working out perfectly. And we just put out a thought there, let's go to South Africa. And now everything's just falling together. And now on Thursday, that's why I'm not quite sure what I'm going to be doing on Monday. On Thursday, we're flying out to Austria.
And ooh.
We're going up into the mountains and we're going to do some hiking, and there's a cheese-making farm place just down the road, which is great. And, you know, we're going to have a lot of fun up there, as we've done once before.
Nice.
It's a very different holiday from our snow-type winter holiday, so we're not mm-hmm. going to the mountains in the summer.
Yeah. Sounds fun, though. And by the way, I want to thank you for bringing us a new technical term, dwang. That was not one I heard before.
You haven't heard that before? Or you
I haven't heard dwang before, no.
No. Oh, no. Wow. New technical term.
Yeah.
It sounds effective, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, it's very, it's onomatopoeia. It's got the sound of the feel of it, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's very descriptive. I'm just surprised, you know. So it always surprises me when different cultures who also speak English have so many different words that the
other person
doesn't have and doesn't use and all the rest of it.
I mean, when you say dwang, how do you mean that specifically? What is dwang to you?
What was the context I used it in just now? Because then I could relate it to that. Because
I'm not sure if I can tie it in directly. I can't remember exactly how you used it.
Dwang just means trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. In the trouble, in the dwang.
Mm-hmm. It's a good word for it. Well, I got the impression too, dwang also, the way you said it, and I can't remember exactly what you said, but
there are nuances to it, yeah.
It sounded like that one of the nuances of dwang was it's trouble that you're kind of steeped in, like you're kind of, you know, it's become, it's stuck and you're kind of been boiling there for a bit and it's just kind of vibrating more and more and more.
Hot dung.
Hot dung.
Dwang.
See, now this is why we like technical terms, because then we don't have to deal with the ones that are like smelly poo, you know?
Oh, if you've got kids, they're always bringing those ones up. Oh.
That's funny. So dwang, okay. Well, we got a new one. That's good. So how are things with, I mean, I know you got this trip coming up, but how has your weekend been? How have things been with the family and so forth?
Oh, I told you, don't ask me on a weekend. I can't remember what I've done from one day to the next.
See, that's what happens when you get invited out for those all-night party affairs. Yeah?
You fill up in bed for a whole weekend and you don't talk to me.
Actually, we had a nice time. Yesterday, we drove up to Concord, Massachusetts, which is just outside of Boston. It's
it's the site of the first confrontation between British troops and American colonists that led to the American Revolution. But it's also now a beautiful little tourist town. It's got little shops and so forth. Mm-hmm. Louise had a great time. She found some stuff to add to her clothing collection. And we had a lovely lunch, and we drove around town, saw some of the sights, and did some walking outside. Not too much. It was kind of hot, but other than that, it was just a gorgeous day. It was beautiful. And it just kind of, it's a reminder to me that we need to celebrate and to appreciate all the nice little things that happened. That was just a simple day trip. It had no real big meaning to it. It was not like this big getaway to Austria or something like that. It was just a little day trip, but it was lovely. It was nice. It was just very warm and friendly.
But Walt, I can tell you that this big getaway to Austria is just like a little trip to us. It's a 1 hour flight, a couple hours drive.
Yeah, but you're going to an entirely new country from where you are.
Europe, there's a lot of countries all over the place.
That's true, yeah. You walk down the road,
like
you trip over
from one state to another. I suppose it is a bit of a big deal in America because the states are so big.
Well, that's just it. I mean, in a sense, we went to another country because we went from Connecticut to Massachusetts, two different states. But we did it. I'm not sure how it works now in Europe. With Europe, when you go from one state to the next, from one country to the next, is there any kind of border crossing stuff, or is it just you go across?
Only Switzerland and Norway, I think, are the two that are outside the European Union.
Oh, okay. So anything within the Union, it's kind of like you're in the States. You just cross the border and you don't even know. It's like, oh, yeah, we just crossed the border.
Canada and America, between Switzerland and Austria, where it's a very little go through.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
You were asking what we did on the weekend, so don't know if you can see the picture, but I went to the Lavender.
Yeah, hold it up to the camera more.
There's the camera.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there we go. Hello there.
My two daughters in the Lavender Field.
Uh-huh.
So the Lavender Fields are amazing place to go. They're so full of energy, and kids spent like 5 hours in total away. But they collect all the bugs, put them in bottles because it's part of the thing that they do there.
Entomologists.
Yeah. I think they take all the bugs away and put them somewhere else, and then somebody else has the problem with these bugs. But it's transferring the bugs from one place to another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here that's illegal in California. But
these ladybirds, etc., inside these little jars is incredibly entertaining for the kids, and they love it. That's, you know, they are so enthused by it. There's a lot of Asians that come there, and it's like one of the biggest attractions in the UK. You know, they're
really
taking photos. You know, the Asians absolutely love it. They're photo mad, and they come to London, and there's thousands of photos of them posing everywhere. And the Lavender Field, you know, they even had wedding. I saw a wedding there the other day where they go to take photos after the wedding. And it is a great place because, you know, you've got such a great background of all this.
Oh, their color, sure.
It's just such a gorgeous, gorgeous one. And it's a perfect time at the moment. So really bright colors, et cetera. But you really feel so good there. You really feel the energy and the air and all the rest of it. It's just very, very balancing and harmonizing.
That was one of the first things I started to appreciate at my wife's suggestion when I was first trying to learn how to apply the law of attraction, how to be a deliberate creator. Mm-hmm. And my first task, as with so many people, was to gain control of my emotional reaction to stuff. Because up until that point, I didn't think I had any. I thought I was subject to, you know, whatever the whims of fate threw my way. And then I had to react the way that was expected to whatever that particular event was.
Yeah.
Well, now I was actually learning how to decide for myself what my own response was going to be. And one of the first things she suggested was take nature walks and get out there and feel the energy of the nature. And I remember my reaction when she told me that. On the one hand, I had heard that you could do that. And on the other hand, I thought she was crazy. And it took some doing. I had a lot of resistance to let go of there. But now, oh God, I can't even imagine hardly what it was like for me back then to not be aware of all that energy that comes out of nature. Mm-hmm. And yet I was totally unaware of it. And I blocked it effectively. Now it's like, oh God, it's in my face. It's so strong.
You know, I work a lot with energy, Walt, and you know, you start realizing how much energy comes out of you, out of an individual.
Yes. Oh God. Yes.
And you know, I don't know if you remember the Matrix movie.
Oh yeah.
So you understand the basic premise of it, because I was explaining it to my wife and she said, was that the movie?
Well, that's not all that different from me saying, well, I couldn't feel anything from energy, you know, any energy from nature. It wasn't there.
Because there's only a short clip explaining it in the whole movie, but once you get it, it makes a lot of sense. So
yeah.
Basically, the aliens come, they decimate planet Earth. They start harvesting the humans because they find out we're incredible batteries.
Mm-hmm.
And they put us in pods, and because they don't want us to be too bored in these pods, they create this virtual reality world so that we can play out in that. And then they try to make everything lovey and dovey, and then it fell apart, so they had to make us a lot of contrast. But it was interesting that they painted a picture of the human body being this incredible battery.
Mm.
And it's the way I kind of see it. There's like boundless amounts of power and energy. You know, Abram says the power that creates worlds is within us. So, you know, and it's around us and it's part of everything. So, you know, learning to tap into that is really what it's about. Nature, because it's hasn't been vibrationally screwed with too much negative thinking, if any, it's more harmonious vibration, which when we walk out in it, we kind of pick it up and we feel it. And it's like, oh my gosh, you know, this is how it should be. How could it be for me? And, you know, if I spend more time thinking about what I want, not what I don't want, I'd be like the plants. I'd be like the animals. I'd be like, so, you know, they're a good reminder of what harmony would look like. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Even those manicured lawns, each individual grass is still uniquely harmonized and balanced before it gets cut and all the stuff. But it's still doing a harmonious way of dealing with no matter what you give it, no matter what you do.
Mm-hmm. That's true. It's
bouncing back. So, when I was young, I used to go hiking and camping every other weekend. We used to go to the Kruger National Park, a game park. And, you know, I was very good at it. You know, I've got the story I like giving when I was following the family and I was very young. Mom dropped us off in the Land Rover and drove the Land Rover back home. And we were walking and I was way behind and Dad came back to me and he said, oh, are you all right? I said, yeah, I'm just very tired. I'm going to go back because, you know, I want to go back to the beginning where Mom is. And he says, no, she's gone home. There's nothing there. Forward.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, eventually I was leading all the hiking trips and away. And, you know, I got so in tune with nature and I had my, my camouflage, overalls, which I lived in. You know, and I was out in the bush many a time living and working and understanding and communicating and all the rest of it. I was really enjoying that aspect of my life at that age.
Mm.
And, we went to this huge mountain called Masenjan and we stayed right at the bottom of it. And the people walked around on the ground level all the way up to a stream at the back. And you cross poles as you cross the river and you go all the way up the side. And I took a few bunches of the stronger guys, and I was only like 10 years old, right over the top of this mountain, down the back, and right to the waterfall where we were going to meet up. And these guys were so impressed with me. They were from the big city, Johannesburg. And they said, oh, man, you did such a great job. I don't know how you did it, and you're so young, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, oh, no, I've been doing it my whole life, and it was easy.
Yeah.
My dad came up to me afterwards. He said, Louis, I've got to tell you something. I said, what, Dad? He said, when somebody praises you, there's only two words. You should say. I said, what's that? He said, thank you. And it was a great lesson. I never forgot.
It's true. Yeah. We need to practice all of this. All of us need to practice appreciating more. You know, when something, when praise comes our way, when something good comes our way, we need to just stop and say, oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Whether you're saying it to a human being or to nature or to just spirit or whatever, you just, you know, appreciation itself is the key. It's not so much saying it to somebody else, although that is good. It's, you're saying it to yourself, essentially. You're reminding yourself, wow, I really like this. I feel good about this. By the way, you mentioned also the idea of a battery.
Which
I thought was an interesting concept. When I saw the movie, it certainly fit with what was in the movie. But as you just described it about how, you know, we are these tremendous, we have the power that creates worlds within us. It occurs to me the idea of a battery is almost insufficient for that. So I'm thinking maybe like the Harry Potter port key, right?
Yeah.
The port key that they use to transport from one place to the other. I mean, the way that they created it in the movie, there was this huge flash of light and, you know, power and boom, zoom, and off. That's more like what it's like. And it's an endless supply rather than a battery that can run down or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you think about it, the law of attraction is the most powerful, consistent battery that has ever existed.
This is true. Yeah.
It just does the same thing again.
No,
it's
the endless battery.
Who you are, what you're doing, and how you're thinking, and where you're going, it just says, I'll take it and I'll amplify it. I'll take it. I'll take it. I'll amplify it. I'll take it. I'll amplify it. I'll take it. I'll amplify it.
Actually, the idea of amplify, that's how we know that it is more than just a battery. It's like a transistor. What a transistor does is it amplifies. It builds, it builds, it builds, it builds, it builds. So it takes what's in that battery and makes it bigger and bigger and bigger.
And the more we think on a subject, the more electricity we're putting into it means the bigger the outcome. Yeah.
That's exactly it, which is cool. and it's fun to play with it.
For me to describe what the law of attraction is now, it's an amplifier of thought.
Yes.
Somebody wants to know what law of attraction is now. It's just amplifier of thought. That's it. Game over. It's a couple of rules, 14 seconds and other things. Amplifier of thought.
That's really what it is. I think probably the biggest source of resistance we have is to that thought. Not you and me. I mean, you know, your typical person, they hear this concept and they decide that can't possibly be true. It's another grade resistance to it.
It can't be easy.
It can't be easy. No.
No.
No, it can't be easy. It can't be something that I can easily control. It can't be something. It can't mean that I actually have control over everything in my life. I mean, things happen to me.
Yeah.
Things just happen.
I know. Out of control, man.
That's right. Yeah. And of course, the answer to that is, but that's where half the fun is. Letting it come when you don't expect it. Letting it be there.
You know, Walt, I'm so much thinking of the way it is with the law of attraction that it's sometimes difficult for me to see how people don't see it like that anymore. It's so much of a shift now that, you know, do you really believe that? Do you really think that way? Wow. Okay. Well, yeah, I did that a couple of years ago. But
right. But well, that's the way I think about it when I'm thinking about somebody who's in non-physical. Because what we're told, and I believe it's true, is that when you're in non-physical, you're in high vibration. You're in the highest vibration at all times. Hmm. And when you're in that highest vibration at all times, I can see how it would be easy to forget what it's like when you are in the physical world. Just because you're not there. You're not in that same vibrational space. You're not in that low vibration. You're not dealing with that low vibration stuff. You're only in high vibration. So from that perspective, how can you actually feel low vibration? Well, you can't without actually going to low vibration.
Yeah. When Abram, the non-physical positive energy individuals say that they experience things with us, it sounds very much like they can only experience the very positive things that happen with us and the negative things they can't even perceive. I don't know.
I think there may be truth to that. Yeah. Abraham gives the answer to one person who asked, well, the person had in the hot seat had been asking all these questions about all these things that he or she felt was wrong with the world and life was miserable and yada, 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 yada. And Abraham was giving all these answers to the person's explaining like, well, you know, the way to understand it is, like, you know, A, B, C, D, E. Here's how it all works.
Every subject's two subject. Look at it from the other subject.
All that kind of thing. Right. And so the person finally said, but what's the point of being here? You know, why do we even come here? And Abraham's answer was, what does chocolate taste like? Right? What does strawberries taste like? What do colors look like?
It's a good way of answering it, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. And that fits exactly with what you were talking about. Those are higher vibration experiences. Those are the enjoyable experiences. Mm-hmm. So I can see that somebody from a non-physical perspective, that's the part that's going to be like the shiny light things that capture the kids' attention. Look at the shiny light things. That's the shiny light things.
But if you understand non-physical as the endless expansion dude and dudettes, whatever you want to call them.
Dude and dudettes. I have my spirit dudes with me today.
And my dudette on the other shoulder. the dude and dudettes are sitting there wanting the expansion. So, you know, when you die, you land up with everything you want, and everything you want is the expansion. So it's interesting that the satisfaction doesn't have to be the manifestation, just the idea of what you want and reveling in it can be enough.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can be totally enough. Totally, totally, totally enough. And when it is, the manifestation happens quickly and easily. So yeah, but you don't actually ever have to get to the manifestation stage. You can just completely, utterly, totally enjoy it in the non-physical.
That reminds me of something that Mike Dooley once said, and it kind of ties in to what you were just talking about regarding, I'll call it dealing with the contrast, enjoying experiencing the contrast. Dooley talks about how, I forget exactly how he said it. I'm having the moment that you had a moment ago where, you know, everything just flew out of the head. Well, let's see if I can get to the essence of it. The essence of it is this. When we come into this world, we do so with the idea of essentially having fun, the Richard Bach concept. Mm-hmm. And that's basically the concept that Mike Dooley follows. And for him, having fun is an activity. That's the point I'm trying to get to. It's an activity. It's something that we choose
energy
to do.
Energy in motion.
It's energy in motion. Yes. Good way to describe it. And in doing that activity, we become part of the contrasting environment. And that's how we dive into the contrast. Mm-hmm. So it's often been said that people who are in non-physical state are a bit envious of people who choose to come into the physical state, that it takes bravery, right? That's a brave thing to do. Mike Dooley talks about that a lot, how we're the brave ones, and they're sitting there in awe of how brave we are to come here. And that's very similar to what you were talking about.
The appreciation that they have for us, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that bravery.
It's on the bleeding edge.
And it's really not all that different from what you talked about with your friend who wanted you to come out and party all night. You know, he was talking about you being a coward. Well, you're not really a coward because you have other forms of contrast that you want to experience. But the point is, that's the positive way of looking at what he was saying.
Yeah.
There's a certain bravery in let's just go. Let's just dive into this contrast. Let's go do it.
Yeah. The sauna guys are big into their partying, man.
we're
all enjoying the new sauna area that they made for us.
You were describing that. It sounds awesome.
Yeah, no, really, really appreciating all that, especially the plunge pool and the contrast. So, you know, when you go into the sauna, you heat up, and when you go into the plunge pool, you cool down. Mm-hmm. And when you continue play between the contrast, what happens to me is I get very, very lightheaded, and I start, there's a lounge room where these kind of like hammock things. Mm-hmm. So I get kind of lightheaded and I kind of go in and out of my body and all the rest of it. So I just go and lie on there and, you know, these things are floating and you're just like, and you're just tripping and it's just like, wow. And it's just, you know, and it's the contrast that's doing it. The hot, cold, the hot, cold, the hot, cold, the hot, cold. Mm. And that just triggers a loosening of the fixedness of your ideas, which are holding you back, or the resistance. It kind of just smashes them away for me. And I find it very easy to trip out.
You're accomplishing zero drugs. That's what I was thinking. You're accomplishing the same thing that drug addicts do, but without the physical side effects.
You know? With the physical side effects, but they are so positive.
They're different kinds of physical, yeah. Not, the ones that don't kill you.
But I promise you, it was quite funny because one of the members, there was my pod and there was a girl lying in one of the other ones. And he comes in there and I'm not sure if I should say this.
Oh, go for it. Why not? You know, we'll mark it as X-rated for the episode or whatever.
No. Well, yeah. So he goes and jumps onto this girl in this pod and, you know, he doesn't even really know her at all. Could have got thrown out of the club.
Yeah. This is not something we recommend here on LOA Today.
But, you know what I love about the guy is he completely lives life to the full. He intuited that it would be all right. He did it. He didn't hesitate. He didn't think about it. He just dives in, you know, And, you know, they're spending a lot of time together now. So
again, disclaimer, we do not recommend meeting girls this way, but.
Oh, well. You know, but you know, when you follow your intuition, you don't get into trouble.
Mm.
Following what feels good, trouble doesn't follow you. Doesn't. And if people do that, they'll start living life to a fuller degree and fuller degree and fuller degree.
Mm-hmm.
That it becomes really exciting because you're not worried about all the things that would stop another person from doing those things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're now in that place where, you know, this feels good and I know that feeling good is a force field around me that'll protect me against everything.
Right. Right. Yeah. That feeling good piece, that component is huge because that's what we have to learn. I mean, I was talking earlier about how many years ago when I was first trying to learn how to apply the law of attraction in my life, I had to learn to believe that I had control over my responses to things. And in order to respond to things, you also have to be aware of and connected to and paying attention to the feelings that are coming to you and going with the good ones. Mm. If you go with the bad ones, if you go with the ones that don't feel good to you, you don't actually pick up how to do this. You have to go through the process of switching over to feeling the good ones and going with the good ones before you start to gain the control. Without that, you don't have control.
Mm.
It's like getting stuck on step one. Well, it's being stuck on step one. Like, okay, I have a desire. Now I'm just going to stay on having a desire and I'm not going to go for what I want. Instead, I'm just going to stay stuck on having a desire and I'm going to get more and more miserable because the desire isn't turning to what I want it to be, but I'm going to just stay stuck on that desire thing.
Yeah. usually only happens to subjects you have resistance to.
Exactly.
And the process of just getting stuck on step one means you're going to have more and more resistance.
Mm.
Otherwise, we'd manifest.
Mm-hmm.
And relationships, I see, are the big one. Oh, so big.
It is. It's huge.
But what everybody doesn't seem to really understand, the simplicity of it all, you've got to love yourself.
Mm. It starts there.
Because when you love yourself, other people are going to think you are amazing.
And the best part is it doesn't matter what you look like.
It doesn't. Absolutely.
Doesn't make any difference at all.
That is a complete illusion, which is a million times blown out of proportion by advertising, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But it really doesn't make any difference.
None whatsoever. No. What matters is how you feel about yourself. I have met, I'm heterosexual, so I'm going to talk about women I've met. I have met women who, by classical standards, were downright drab, but they had so much life in them and so much energy in them. They were hot. Mm. They were sexy. Mm. Even though they didn't fit the stereotype of what a hot and sexy girl should look like. Why? Because of that energy.
Exactly.
The energy was so, there was no way that body type was going to even come into consideration for that girl. And that's the difference right there.
Completely, absolutely, and utterly. Yeah. But why limit yourself to heterosexual? Huh?
Because I like to limit myself to heterosexual. That's who I am. That's what I enjoy being. That's the chocolate answer. I came here for the chocolate of being a heterosexual.
You know what you want and you're going for it. That's it.
That's it. That's it. It's very simple. Speaking of what I want to make sure, I also want to get our announcements in before we run out of time.
Oh, that went quick.
I know, it flies by. But we want to encourage people who have been listening in, both to the live stream and to the recorded podcast to become subscribers if you're not yet subscribers. And we do know from the stats, Louis, that about 85 to 90% of our listeners are subscribers. So that's the good thing. The word has gone out. Mm-hmm. People have actually taken the time to subscribe. But for those 10 to 15% who are listening in, perhaps for the first time, wondering what's this thing all about that I've been listening to. It's interesting, but I don't know what this is. Well, we talk about the law of attraction with a whole bunch of co-hosts every single day, Monday through Friday. We have a different episode every day and everyone's different. And we go into a wide range of topics because obviously the law of attraction applies to every area of life. So we explore all areas of life. And you can be a part of it. Just become a subscriber by going to the homepage of our website, loatoday.net. You'll find instructions for subscribing with your particular device right at the top. And as you click through, it takes just a few moments. As you click through, bang, just like that, you're a subscriber. And then, of course, once you're a subscriber, make sure that you're sharing the facts so that other people can also become subscribers here on LOA Today. And if you feel like watching us on the live stream, we live stream to YouTube now. So come to YouTube and just do a search for LOA Today podcast videos, click the subscribe button, and then click the little bell next to the subscribe button so you get notified. That bell will make sure that you get notified every time we come on the air with a live stream, as well as whenever we post a new video. And you can always find out when the latest thing is being posted. So, you know, become a subscriber, and thank you to those of you who have already become subscribers, and welcome to those of you who are about to become a subscriber. We're glad to have you. And just as I'm glad to have my friend Louis come on to talk about law of attraction, particularly from the Abrahamic point of view every Monday, as he sits in his hammock and thinks Abrahamic things every Monday.
Abrahamic things, oh, that's a good one.
But have a great time with your trip to Austria. I don't know if we'll see you next Monday, but if not, we'll look for you following that. Actually, we're probably going to have a little bit of an overlap issue here. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to work because I think the following weekend, Louise and I are going to the Cape, which probably means a shift in the schedule for that week. But at least 2 weeks from now, we'll definitely be in touch, if not sooner than that. So let's leave it like
that. Just let me know.
All right. We'll do that.
Let our listeners know. Take care, everybody.
Yes, thank you very much. Carpe diem. We love all of you. We especially love our live streamers and our podcast listeners. Our podcast listeners are what make it possible. And so thank you very much for being loyal. We will see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.